Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word together. I hope you can join on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much that Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again, and yet you made a promise to your Son to pour out your Holy Spirit upon those that believed on him. We thank you for the work of the Spirit bringing us into conviction, bringing us to conviction in Christ and filling us so that we might have the mind of Christ and live by the power of Christ. Lord, would you help us as we study the scriptures relating to your precious Holy Spirit each Sunday for the next several weeks. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, beloved. I felt led of the Lord as we're starting a new year, brand new year this week. I felt led of the Lord to begin taking you through a book I wrote called Developing Your Relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's laid out day by day. You can order the book if you so desire, and I'll tell you how to do that later. But we're going to begin this evening by thinking in terms of from chaos to light. Genesis 1, 2, and 3 says to us that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. As the earth was formless and void, so too are we before God speaks. Darkness has was over the surface of the deep. Is your life without form and void? Do you feel void of purpose, trying to understand why you exist? Many wrestle with who they are and why they exist. Many feel a sense of purposelessness. As it was in the natural creation, the Spirit of God is moving over the surface of people's lives. Today, he has come to speak the word of God into the life of individuals and nations. The same word of God that brought order out of the chaos and light to the natural creation in the beginning wants to bring order to our lives and reveal God's purpose in us. He has come to bring forth a new creation out of the old. This is what Paul meant when he said, "Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." 2 Corinthians 5:17. Today, many are full of confusion, emptiness, and without purpose. The darkness of sin rules in their life choices. Each area can be brought into the light of God's Word through the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. God gave his word in human form when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is waiting for individuals to receive the spoken word of God. "He who follows me will not walk in darkness," the scripture says. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." Holy Spirit is present, helping men and women come to the light of God revealed in his word. Forgiveness and the new birth. Others have come to Christ, yet they still have areas in their lives that are bound by darkness. The Holy Spirit came to set the captives free and bring fruitfulness in the lives that are surrendered to God's plan. Let us be fruitful by fulfilling God's plan in our life. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to remove chaos from your life and replace it with his order. Give him permission to search all parts of your life and reveal any darkness by exposing it to his light. And the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Genesis 2:7, when the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In the beginning, it was God that formed man. God is the divine architect of life. His purpose was not to have a design to look upon and admire as an art form, but to have a living man who would do his will on earth. It was God's breath that gave man life. The word spirit means breath. God breathed into man, and man came to life. The divine creator is still breathing into mankind. In the first creation, man became a living soul. Man's disobedience in the Garden of Eden brought sin, separation, and darkness. God has chosen to create a new creation out of the sinful chaos of the fallen creation. It is what the Apostle Paul was speaking concerning the new self when he states, "Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. God of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and of truth." Ephesians 4:24. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The work of God's Spirit is to breathe upon all those that receive God's word and recreate Christ in them. Paul said, "We once knew Christ after the flesh, but now we know him no longer that way. Rather, we know him after the body. We know him after the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 5:16. The first disciples walked with Christ as he lived on the earthly in an earthly body. We have believed in him as the Son of God in the flesh that died on the cross. The Spirit of God raised him from the dead, and he is now alive through the Spirit. That is, Christ is now alive through the Spirit. We can only know Christ by the Spirit of God. Let him breathe new life into you today. God's will is for us to daily receive a new infilling of his Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to be filled many times in a day. As the enemy comes along and we struggle against the flesh and struggle against other people who are perhaps not Christian, the Lord wants us to stop and take a moment and receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to be receive his infilling once again in our life. Whatever trial, problem, and situation we're facing, we just stop and say, "Father, right now, I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with ideas and understandings. How do I relate in this situation? Father, by your Spirit, give me wisdom from heaven. Give me the gift of grace to be able to go through this and walk with other people in their sin nature. Help me to be a faithful son or daughter of God." And so we can ask the Father to reveal to us if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to fill me as much as you desire. I know that I need a fresh infilling of your power and presence each and every day. And so I invite the Holy Spirit to fill me today and throughout this year for the glory of God. Now we need to learn how to become aware of his presence. John 3:5, Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The key to entering the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit who carries the mandate to bring forth in the earth a new creation. The natural man does not receive the Spirit of God because the kingdom is spiritual and not natural. Many try reasoning in their minds how to be accepted by God. This is the height of folly because God will not allow any to know him in his ways simply through natural reasoning. That's what happened in the garden, by the way. Adam and Eve got into natural reasoning, and they missed God and ended up yielding to the serpent. All of the world's religions are based upon self-effort in trying to reach God. The basis of the faith, once delivered to the saints, is rooted in God reaching out to us. He has done this through his Holy Spirit. The Spirit caused Christ's child to be formed in Mary's womb. It was the Spirit who came upon Jesus at his baptism. It was the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to heal the sick and cast out demons. The Holy Spirit strengthened the Lord Jesus to endure the cross for each of us. Finally, the Father promised Jesus that the Holy Spirit would be given to all who believe in him. Nicodemus, a religious leader in Israel, came to Jesus in the dark of night. He knew in his heart that Jesus had been sent by God, confirmed by the signs that followed Jesus' life. Nicodemus only knew the law as a way to God. Jesus began to share that the true way to God, to enter into the kingdom of God, was through the new birth, and not by attempting to keep the Jewish law. Jesus told Nicodemus that it's by water and the Spirit that one must be born again. Water speaks of the natural birth process. Baptism was not a new thought to the Jews, for they had many kinds of baptisms. Being born of the Spirit was a new dimension for this Pharisee to grasp. Many try entering into the relationship with God through various kinds of religious works, but Jesus' words help us understand that only by the Spirit of God can one be born into the Father's kingdom. Today, are you resting fully upon a relationship with the Holy Spirit for your entrance and life in the kingdom of God, or is it self-effort and self-reasoning which drives you toward spiritual things? Our greatest need is to increase our dependence upon God's Spirit. He wants us to let go of all self-effort and fully embrace a relationship of intimacy with Him. God, as promised to Jesus, has sent His Spirit to be received by all those who have chosen to put their trust in the Lord Jesus. If you have been born of the Spirit, then get to know Him in ever deepening ways. Always inquire of His will and direction in your life. Learn to discern His voice in your inner man. And so we need to pray on a daily basis. Father, I ask for an increase of my awareness of the need for your Holy Spirit's presence. I ask that I might be led more by your Spirit and less by my own natural reasoning in my daily, day-to-day life. And then we want to think about flesh and spirit. Jesus said in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two different things. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Jesus explained to Nicodemus the two types of birth. One is a birth that is generated by the flesh, or through the human reproductive process that God initiated at the creation. Because of sin, man lost his standing of righteousness before God and came under the judgment of God. Man had a desperate need for something to save him from his lost condition. Jesus came to provide a way of salvation for mankind. Through the Holy Spirit, man could be born again. A new creation would begin through Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus this second birth would be a work of the Spirit. Through the new birth, we are once again brought back into a relationship with God. When born again, we have a right standing with God. It is a birth that the Holy Spirit initiates. As we allow His work in our lives, He matures us into the image of Christ. That's the goal, beloved. His mandate is to empower believers to grow up into Christ so that He might be revealed in everything we do. Paul speaks both about the man of flesh, of the flesh, and the spiritual man when writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. The man of the flesh is the person who tries to serve God from his own reasoning, or tries to figure out Bible truths from his own natural reasoning. Paul says that this one is in, is an infant in Christ. Paul goes on to say that he had to give them milk rather than solid food because they would not receive it. The new birth is not unlike the natural birth as it relates to babes and mature individuals. We begin as an infant, but the hope is that we will grow up into Christ by becoming a spiritual man or woman. In other words, one that is led by the Holy Spirit. This can only come about as we develop a relationship with the Spirit of God. He leads us to the Word of God with the purpose of washing our minds from the fleshly way of thinking to a spiritual way of thinking and a biblical application in our daily life. Where are you in the process of change? Are you still fleshly in your thinking and practices, or are you developing a spiritual man or woman? Is Christ being revealed in your thoughts and practices is the question of the day. As we enter into this new year, let us discover how we're being led. The Spirit will not covet ever, forever, will not convict forever. Genesis 6:3. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. That was after the flood. God set a timeline for mankind that his days would only be 120 years. This is a pronouncement of God as prior to the flood that destroyed all mankind, except for Noah and his family. God saw Noah as a righteous man. God reveals in our scripture for today that his spirit had to deal with sin at some point. The sixth chapter of Genesis reveals how God determined that man had 120 years to repent and begin to serve God's purposes. He chose to use Noah as his instrument to call man to salvation by the construction of an ark. Men laughed at Noah, but when the ark was finished, God's judgment came quickly, and men weren't laughing any longer as the waters flooded and the ark began to rise. Paul helps us understand that God is still dealing with mankind's rebellion. God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere must repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. Acts 17:32-31 tells us that. That man is God's own son who came to bear the sins of the world and take on himself the wrath of God. Jesus' atoning work is what caused God the Father to make this statement through Paul. There is a day which God has fixed to judge all those who refuse to repent by changing their mind and submitting to God's Spirit, who has come to transform all those who trust in Christ. Jesus is God's ark of safety for mankind from God's judgment when it finally comes. That judgment will not be by water, but a rain of fire, as God has declared by his word. By his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved unto fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men, 2 Peter 3:7. Repentance is a lifestyle that allows the Holy Spirit to point out areas where God wants to change our thinking and our actions. Allow the Spirit to reveal Christ in you, in your thinking, and how you might live life before God and this generation. What does the Spirit of God desire to speak with you about in regard to your thinking and the way you live as a son or daughter of God? He is always close to bringing fresh insights so our minds might be renewed after his. You see, God is working even after we come to Christ. Before we come to Christ, he will point out our sin condition and we might feel horrible we might be in a real problematic situation that God uses to bring conviction to our hearts so that we would turn to Him. But even after we've turned to Him, we still have areas that we're having to be changed in. And the Holy Spirit still works His work of conviction and still comes and cleanses and comes and gives us power to live and obey God. And so it starts at the new birth when we're born again, but it's something that we walk through on a daily basis. I've been walking with the Lord for a multitude of years now, at least 65 years. I have, or more, I've been walking with the Lord. But I still have times when I need the Spirit of God to bring conviction, Spirit of God to give me direction and to show me exactly what to do and to give me power to change my direction and to trust in God with all my heart and not lean onto my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him. He promised to direct my paths and He promises to direct yours too. And so the scripture says, I would that all of the Lord's people were prophets. Numbers 11:29, Moses spoke that out. That the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. God took of His Spirit, which rested upon Moses, and placed His Spirit upon the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. Two of the 70 remained in the camp and were not present when the Spirit was poured out. But they too received the Spirit and prophesied, even as they were in the camp and not in the tabernacle at the time. Joshua did not think this was right because those men were not present with the others. Moses thought that Joshua was jealous for Moses' sake. But Moses revealed the heart of God with his response in verse 29 of Numbers 11. That we just read. God desires for His people to have such a relationship with Him that He can reveal His will to them so that they can voice God's will to others. God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. He reveals His desire that all of His people would prophesy. In 1 Corinthians 14:31, Paul wrote, "For you can all prophesy one by one." Paul went on to reveal that prophecy had a purpose, that is, for learning and exhorting of God's people. Prophecy is not the attempt of the natural man trying to figure out God's will, but the Spirit making known God's will to the spirit of a person. What one believes the Spirit of God has revealed to them is subject to others who are hearing God as well. No spirit of prophecy is private, but is to be confirmed by what others are hearing God say. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:22 through 33. Confusion and the lack of peace are produced by a person holding on to private interpretation of God's word. The man or woman that possesses the true spirit of prophecy is the one who spends time with God listening carefully for what the Spirit desires to speak. They freely submit what they are hearing to others for discernment of accuracy. The Spirit never contradicts the word of God, nor does He limit what He is saying to one individual. The Spirit of God does not bring new revelation that is outside of God's revealed word, but helps us to apply God's word in our present world and culture. Wisdom is necessary to work with revelation. That is why Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 1:17. That was Paul's prayer for the church there at Ephesus, and for all the churches, I'm sure. We need to ask God every day for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Not only read God's word and pray, but become a listener for what the Spirit would say to you. Be prepared to speak, so others may learn and be exhorted. Amen. I think we'll wrap it up there for today, and we'll pick up there next week. Father, thank you for your word that lives and abides forever. And Lord, we want to be servants that walk steadfastly with you. We want to be men and women that hear the Spirit of God. So this year of 2026, cause us to be a people that spend time in your presence, listening for the word of the Spirit, listening for impressions that you want to give and impress us with and confirm by your word. So I just pray for all the listeners today that your Spirit would be rich unto them throughout this year of 2026, that they would come into new levels, new dimensions of walking with you, Father. And thank you for helping us on the broadcast. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word to speak. And now, Lord, give us understanding that we might enter in by wisdom and revelation to your word. And so, in Jesus' name, I bless you, my friends, in this new year, 2026. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like a copy of any of my books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop. And you can see the books that are there. You can the order form is there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program, if you would. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Thank you, and remember, walk with the King. God bless you.